Well, it's good to be back with you all this morning. And I'd invite you to open your Bible to Acts, the 17th chapter. Because here in Acts chapter 17, we find a basic difference that exists between people when it comes to the truth of God's Word. We find especially a very noticeable difference here between the Berean Jews and the Thessalonian Jews that is recorded here in the second journey of the Apostle Paul. And from that, we can look at ourselves and ask ourselves, what can we do to be like the Bereans here in the book of Acts? We're told that Paul on this journey had come up into this part of Asia, or actually Achaia, which is what we would say northern Greece today, or maybe partly over into some of the Yugoslavian countries there to the north of Greece. But they especially mentioning several of these major cities where Paul would stop and attempt to present the gospel of Jesus, and showing that Jesus is the Savior, that Jesus is the Messiah and the Christ. And in Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 4, we find that he came to the city of Thessalonica. And we read there in the first few verses that he came to Thessalonica where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And then Paul, as his custom was, went into them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus that I preach to you is the Christ." And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. Now, generally, this was a successful establishing of the church here in Thessalonica. Paul presented and reasoned from the Scriptures on three Sabbaths in the synagogue of the Jews. But we find that the response that was given was primarily, if not almost entirely, non-Jews who responded to the gospel here in this city. Because in verse 4, it said that some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of the devout Greeks and a few of the leading women. That would be another way of saying that there was a large number of people who became converted to Christ. But most of them were from the devout Greeks, the either proselyted Gentiles or non-Jewish people. And some of the leading women are mentioned here. And there are some of these who are later mentioned in the travels of Paul that became very steadfast and very faithful. And when Paul was writing to this church in the book of 1 Thessalonians, he commended them for their response to the gospel. And he went on to say that they sounded forth the word of God. And he loved this congregation. It was a wonderful congregation of people that he speaks of here in chapter 2, and in verse 13, he mentions how they had received the word, though. He said, "For this reason we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." So the church, made up of mostly Gentiles and leading women and so forth, here in this city, he commended them that they received this as the word of God. But that was not the case for many of the Jews. The ones that Paul would have probably hoped that if anyone there might be receptive or establish the grounding foundation of the church, it would be among the Jews. And yet that was not the case here, because the response of the Jews was very opposed to the truth, as they were able to hear it for several weeks and sort of digest what Paul was actually saying about Christ, that they rejected this for the most part. And not only rejected, but tried to violently oppose the Word of God here in the city of Thessalonica. In fact, it said that some of them took some of the evil men and, gathering a mob, set the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. And they accused them of turning the city upside down and causing trouble everywhere they would go and being opposed to Caesar. And they said, there's another king, Jesus. And it's interesting that in that word that they said, another king, it actually meant another king of a different kind. And Jesus is actually a king of a different kind. So there was some truth in that, but the idea that this was a treasonous movement against the Roman Empire was entirely false. These were some of the same charges brought against Jesus. But what we see is an attitude here of resisting the truth, opposing the truth, trying to drive out the men who were presenting this. And so they had taken security, the men of the city had taken security from Jason and let them go. But in this security was an agreement that was being made, a bond that was being posted, that they would release them on the condition that these men would leave the city, Paul and Silas. And so in the very next verse, we read that they did this. They left the city and went down to Berea. So it's when they came to Berea that we find this very significant statement here in verse 11, where we're told about the Jews of Berea, how they were different than the Jews of Thessalonica. It said these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and search the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. So here is a wonderful compliment or a commendation made of these Jewish people in the city of Berea that stands out as such an excellent example, that they the attitude that they showed to the Word of God. And I would just say to you this morning, all of you here, that we today need to be doing, we need to do what the Bereans did. And the question that I would ask to each of us is, are you truly open to truth in your life? Because that is the quality that is seen in these Jewish people here in the city of Berea. Well, what must we do in order to do what they did? That is the question we want to consider. And we're looking at Acts chapter 17 and verse 11 as our text. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. And so we read that again. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. The first quality then that we can see here among these people is that they opened their minds to the truth. They were willing to open their minds. And that says a lot. They received the word, and not just received the word, but they received the word with all readiness. So they were willing to open their minds to what Paul was teaching, what he was presenting to them about Jesus Christ. And I would say that today, coming to the truth takes learning and hearing the truth. A person, in order to come to God, must be willing to do this, must be willing to hear the truth and to be able to learn from this in their life. You must be willing to open your mind in order to do this. So we've all experienced people, I think. You have probably, as well as I, met people that were just closed-minded as far as hearing something new that was being presented. And it might not be the Bible. It might be something that you were trying to get across, to explain something. No. They're just, their minds are closed. They don't even want to hear about it. So here we find people that were willing to open their mind and listen and consider what was being said. We're told in John chapter 6, verse 45, Jesus said that it is written in the prophets that they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. He's quoting from the writings of Isaiah that Isaiah said, all my children will be taught of God. Looking to that time, in the times of the Messiah, that all of my children will be taught of God and they will have great peace, is the statement that Isaiah made back there. And so Jesus referred to this, that in order for a person to come to God, they must be taught of God. This means that we must have open minds. We must be willing to listen and consider what is being said about who Jesus Christ is and what He has done for us as far as our sins and our salvation is concerned. We must have open minds. And that means that we must be willing to be good listeners and be open to that possible teaching that it may be the truth. We must consider this. In James 1 and verse 19, James said, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. And James is here talking really not just about principles of communication, where this would also be true, that to be a good listener we need to be swift to hear and slow to speak. But he's primarily talking about receiving the word of God. We have to have that attitude when it comes to the word of God, that we're swift to hear and slow to speak. Have you ever met a person that whenever a certain point of the scripture was brought up, they just get angry? That's their response. They don't want to hear that. Yet it's part of the Bible. It's part of God's word. We must be open to hearing what God says in His word and understanding that it is the truth. We may not like to hear what it's saying. It may not be something that is pleasant to the ear, but it is for our good and for our salvation. So they were willing to do this, to have a readiness of mind. This word that is used here in the Greek language here, prothumia, it means to have an eager mindset, to be eager to hear the word of God, to be interested, to be excited to have the opportunity to learn what God says. And Jesus talked about soils in the parable of the sower in Luke, the 8th chapter. And he said the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. That speaks to the fact that we must be of a ready mind to hear the word of God, to have a good and honest heart. And Jesus also said in John chapter 7 that if anyone wills to do His will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it be from God or whether I speak of my own authority. Having that attitude then is critical and important to be one who can receive the truth of God and have it change your life. The second, we see here that a person who has this attitude that is committed on the part of the Bereans, we must be willing to open our Bibles. It says they searched the Scriptures to find out whether these things were so. Now, the Apostle Paul came and as a man of God, as an apostle, preaching Jesus Christ, but in doing so, he reasoned from the Scriptures. We saw that in Thessalonica, that he reasoned out of the Scriptures. He proved his points that he was making, and in a logical argument of who Jesus Christ is based upon the Scriptures. And the thing about the Bereans is they went home and searched their Scriptures whether these things were so. They were willing to open their Bibles to... The word actually means to examine the Scriptures. They took their Bible, the Old Testament, I believe, was what they had at this time, but they went into those Scriptures that they knew to be the Word of God, and they began to study them. Are these things so that are being taught here? This is new. We haven't heard this before. But let's look at our Scriptures and find out if this is the Word of God. In doing that, they regard the Scriptures as the authoritative Word of God. The Bereans had that understanding, and we must have that understanding, that the Scriptures are authoritative. They are from God. They are God speaking to us. Just as Paul in 2 Timothy 3 points out that he talks there that Timothy from a childhood had known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Then he said that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto every good work. God's Word then comes from God. It is inspired by God. And it is able to correct and instruct us in righteousness in our life. So what does the Bible say? What is the truth? What is God's Word teaching us? We must have an eagerness and willingness to see for ourselves. What do the Scriptures teach? What does the Bible say about this? Prove all things according to Scripture, according to the truth. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul said to test all things, hold fast what is good. Some people would come into the church prophesying. We see that sometimes today, that people will bring a prophecy. This is a prophecy of God, that God has spoken to me, God has given this message. And yet we are to test all things, hold fast to what is good. And Peter said in 1 Peter 4:11, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God, that in all things God may be glorified. If someone is going to claim to have a revelation from God and that God has spoken to him, it must be measured according to God's Word. Speak as the oracles of God, that God may be glorified, not that person. I have a message from God. God speaks to me. Who does that glorify? It glorifies that person. Unless we go back to the Scripture and say, no, this is to glorify God. And this is in accordance with God's revealed Word that we find recorded here in the Scriptures. We find, though, that the thing that is outstanding about the Bereans is not only that they open their minds and they open their Bibles, but they weren't willing to open their schedules and take the time necessary to study the Scriptures. It said they examined the Scriptures daily, whether these things were so. We find that, we can see from this, that here were people who had a busy schedule, just like you and I have a busy schedule. And it's easy for us to use that as a reason or excuse to say, well, I just don't have time to study my Bible. These people, though, saw this as an urgent matter. Something had been presented to them that could change their life, that they needed to make a decision. Is this the truth? Is Jesus Christ the Messiah? So they examined the Scriptures daily. They were willing to open their Bibles and open their minds, but it doesn't mean anything unless we're willing to take our time to do this. Unless we have the time to devote to it. So we have to see the value of daily exhortation and time in the Word of God and involvement with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ to be able to take the Word of God and put it into our lives, that it might bear fruit. Hebrews 3 and verse 13 says, "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." And this was an exhortation in the wilderness given to the Israelites. As it is today, let us not be hardened as happened to the Israelites in the wilderness. They neglected this. And we see what happened to them as they failed to make the promised land there in the Old Testament. Paul tells us in the New Testament that we need to be willing to redeem the time as Christians in our lives. Ephesians 5, beginning with verse 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly," he says, "not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." What is he talking about? Talking about the fact that we have to use every opportunity in the Word of God because we don't have that much time left. Time passes quickly. And if we don't avail ourselves of the opportunities daily to study God's Word, we're not going to be able to get that job done before our life runs out. Life passes quickly. And it's easy for us to get wrapped up in the daily chores and the daily activities of this life and not spend time with God. What is the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning? If it's something other than thanking God and developing and returning to your communication with God, then we're allowing an idol to set into our life that comes between us and God. From the time we wake up until the time that we go to bed in the evening, we need to have our minds reminded constantly of our life with God and what His will for our lives is. Growing in God's Word and in the life of a child of God comes from daily involvement. And in 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3, Peter says that we desire this relationship, desire this food from God. "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." What does it take then to be open to truth in your life? Are you open to truth today? It means that we must be of an open mind to hear the Word of God. To be willing to consider truth coming from Scripture. To be willing to open the Bible and search and examine the Scriptures. And to do that daily. Which means that our schedule, we need to put that prioritized. That this is the most important matter in my life. Knowing and understanding and applying the truth and walking with God in my daily life in a way that pleases and honors Him. The Bereans had those attitudes. The church was able to be established there. The Jews came there to Berea and they drove Paul out of the city of Berea. It said that the brethren took him by night down to the sea and they was able to leave on a ship for Athens. So oftentimes the Apostle Paul didn't have the luxury of being able to find a group of people that he loved that were receptive to the Word of God, and he could just settle down and stay and continue to teach them. He didn't have that luxury. He often had to leave right in the midst where things were going good because there was so much opposition against the truth. And yet his goal was to establish a group of believers there that are committed to faithfully following and studying and growing in their lives as Christians, knowing that Jesus Christ is indeed the Messiah. We're going to stand and sing the invitation this morning, and my urgent message to all of us is that we need to be like the Bereans. We need to be willing to take the time to search God's Word on a daily basis and find out if these things are true, and if they are, then to accept them and to base our lives upon them. We're going to stand and sing in the song that's been selected, number 833, I believe, and we invite you to come as we stand together and sing.